So I've been thinking about Christmas and what would I want to preach on? How would I want to share this message? You know, it's interesting being a preacher for many different reasons, but the one that I'm thinking of is the fact that holidays come around every year. And every year on certain days, you know, Easter, Mother's Day, Christmas, you're trying to give a message around what everybody's hearts and minds are on. But it's tough because the longer you've been there, the more you have to give a message about the same thing, but you want to do it in a different way. You see the struggle there. And I was thinking, as I was reading through, all right, what am I going to preach on this year? How can I make this story, this scene different than what it's been, but still have the same message? And man, it's a wrestle back and forth. So I was reading through, and I decided, well, my mind went to some different places. I'm about to let you into my mind. Here's the old illustration that my mind thought of. As I was thinking about Christmas, I thought about the little boy who really, really wanted a new watch for Christmas. And so every day, he would do what I would do. I get obsessed. I don't know if you're that way. I get obsessed when I want something new or there's something that I'm like, hey, that's nice. All I can start to think about is what? That thing. And I've got to have it or else my life is just miserable and it's going to fall apart. And mom, can I please have whatever? And that's what he's doing. And so he'd go to his dad and he'd say, Dad, can I please have that watch? And he'd go to his mom and then he'd, you know, try to reason with her. Mom, I need a watch. You know I need a watch. And so I need to get this watch now. And finally, his dad just got upset that he would keep asking, kind of like my dad used to do. And he said, you know, son, if you ask about the watch one more time, you're not getting a watch ever, right? And so the boy decided, well, I'm going to keep quiet about my present. You know, I'm just going to be patient and I'm going to wait. But that night at supper, it was his turn to do what was the family tradition. This family had a pretty cool tradition. They would all sit around the table as a family and eat. They'd say their prayer. But before the prayer for the meal, one member of the family, it would rotate, one member of the family would be able to read a Bible verse before the meal. And so it was his turn to read the Bible verse, and so he picked out a special verse. So before the prayer, this boy recites Mark chapter 13 and verse 37 with emphasis. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You know, so you'll get it on the way home. It's lame, but I told you, my mind's a weird place. So it's that time of year, you know, we're all thinking about Christmas and all the things that come with it. Presents are a part of that. Awesome food is a part of that. Family is a part of that. Hopefully Jesus is a major part of that, right? But we think about the holidays, and I don't know if you're like me, but I get a little antsy. I'm one of those who likes Christmas. Now, I do have a rule that there can be no Christmas carols before Thanksgiving. That's just too early, all right? So if you're that person, I just completely disagree, but I still respect you and love you, but you're wrong. but I get antsy about things. And I just get so excited that it gets harder and harder to wait. And even still, as I've grown older, that has not diminished. I thought it would with maturity. Obviously, I guess I'm not mature yet. That's the problem. But I get antsy, and I hate waiting. Does anybody else hate waiting? Or am I alone? And I'm not just talking for Christmas. Like, I hate waiting in general. Waiting is the worst. Waiting in lines. Like, going to Leander HEB is just awful in... And if you found the secret time, some people come up to me and they're like, oh, no, I found the secret time. They're like 2 a.m. That's it. You know, and I'm like, okay, if you find a different time than 2 a.m. that you can adventure to HEB, let me know where you won't wait and move around. The buggies are too big. The aisles are too small. I could go on. It's just a difficult deal. I hate waiting in lines. You know, I hate waiting in lines for DMV stuff. You know, like I'll put it off to the last minute because I hate waiting. You know, I love amusement parks. I hate lines at amusement parks because I hate waiting. Waiting's just not my gift. I mean, God's given us all spiritual gifts, right? And yours might be patience, but mine is not. Patience is tough. And so normally what you would expect after an introduction like that is a sermon that says, but you need to learn to wait. But that's not what I'm doing this morning. In fact, what I'm going to do is feed into our irrational need for something quick. And I'm going to give you three Christmas gifts that you don't have to wait until Christmas to open. Are you ready? It's going to be good. Three Christmas gifts. You don't have to wait. So kids who have been begging your parents, can I just open one? And you start doing the reasoning. I don't know. That's what I did as a kid. What about just one on Christmas Eve? Can we just do one on Christmas Eve? My parents always said yes, and then they'd buy me a terrible gift and wrap it up, and here you go. And you know what? Even though I knew it was going to be bad, I was still excited for it, you know? Because it just helped feed into my and so I'm feeding into our impatience this morning. Three Christmas gifts that you can unwrap right now. And it comes from Luke chapter 2. No, it's not a new PlayStation or an Xbox or a car. But I'll tell you what, it's something pretty amazing as I was reading the text. Three gifts you don't have to wait until Christmas to open. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. We've read this story so many times, and every year we reread typically this story of Jesus when he was born, but I've read it in a different way, and I realized, you know what? Not only is there something powerful in the story because of the reasons we typically think of, but because of the blessings that we get and receive because of, if you want to call it, the presents that are here for you and for me before and before this lesson and preparing this, I never even realized it. Listen to this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born unto you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a stinky old manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." So there's three things here. I don't know if you caught them, but I started to realize, wow, there's a lot there. Other than just rereading this story in this way, I started to say, man, there's some serious blessings here for us. And the first is this. Listen, the angel comes and he says, "Do not be afraid." First words on the scene, "Do not be afraid." And so the first gift that you don't have to wait until Christmas to unwrap is freedom from your fear. And let me tell you something. This is huge for us. Amen? And the reason that it's so important for you and for me is because everybody's scared of something. Right? There are some messages I preach where I say, you know what, this might not be powerful to you today, but if you live long enough, eventually you're going to need this. But when I talk about fear, it's powerful because it's something we all live in and battle against, listen to me, every single day of our lives. Fear is one of the most relatable topics that Jesus talks about, that God talks about in his entire word, and that's why he talks about do not fear over and over and over and over again, Old Testament and New, because it is in our human nature to struggle with fear. When I was thinking about fear, I looked up, you know, just the biggest fears that we have. And a 2014 survey came out from the Chapman University that listed people's fears in order, and they took this survey to see what people's biggest fear was. Now, I assumed it was going to be something, in my mind, major, you know, but people's number one fear, can you guess what it was? Fear of public speaking. So I guess I've conquered all my fears. Right, I'm good to go. Fear of public speaking is a real fear. No matter how often you do it, I mean, I still get nervous before speaking many times. A lot of you will come up, you'll shake my hand before a lesson, and my hands will be ice cold, right? It's been that way since I started preaching, and I think that just has to do with the nerves. Even though I can tell myself, oh, I'm not fearful, I do this all the time, it's not a big deal, my hands will still be cold. You know, and that's just part of the nerves. So fear of public speaking. But you know what? Some fears are kind of like, they sound smaller. And some of them are easier to cure, you know. You afraid to fly? Stay on the ground. You know, you're afraid of elevators? Take the stairs. I don't know. I don't know why you'd be afraid of elevators. I guess some people are. Probably Tower of Terror did that to most people. But here's the deal. Big or small, there's so many fears that we have to face, aren't there? And it feels like, you know, through my whole life, I've always addressed fear from the pulpit. I've heard about fear preached. But it feels like in this past couple of years, fear has really been one of the major topics that we've heard about and listened to. Why is that? Because there is just so much fear right now. Because it is human nature in us to fear. So if you're afraid this morning, you're not alone. Fear is a part of human nature for us. But here's the deal. No matter big or small, when the angel comes and he says, "Do not be afraid," he's also saying that through a baby in a manger, you and I can have freedom from our fears. Can you believe that? You know, this time in my life, now having my own baby boy, to think about that is just so incredible. The fact that a little baby born in a manger is what can alleviate your fears, big and small. And man, we need that because you know what? Some of the fears, they're not just some smaller type things. And even though maybe the most common is fear of public speaking that people are willing to open up about. By the way, surveys aren't always the best because how willing are you to open up about some of your deepest rooted fears, right? It's easier to say, well, I'm scared of public speaking than it is to say, maybe I'm scared of the future. I'm worried about tomorrow. You ever been scared of the future? Don't you wish that your worry of the future could stop the future from happening? Don't you wish that your worry could actually affect the future, but it doesn't? It just helps you to circle in your misery and it makes your waiting even more miserable. You know, there's another word for fear of the future. I've already said it. It's called worry, right? It's worrying about what, listen, might happen. You know, when you think about it, when we're worried about the future, we're worried about what could happen, a possibility of what might happen. And then when we think of what may happen, we tend to go straight to the worst case scenario, and our minds are reeling with this fear, and we dwell on it, and we can't stop thinking about it. We fall asleep thinking about it, so then we dream about it. Then you wake up and you tell your spouse about what your dream was about, your fear, and then are you starting to get stressed while I'm talking about this? It's human nature, and we bombard ourselves. Listen, we're so great at asking ourselves questions, and usually they're rooted in the what if. The hypotheticals, you know? Well, what if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? What if I'm wrong? What if I'm right? What if this person does this to us, or what's going to happen if this scenario plays out, or what if I lose everything I have, or what if I lose someone I love and suddenly we're scared about the future? What if this is the news that I'm going to get from the doctor when this goes on? And of course, nobody knows what's going to happen but God, and we know that in our heads, and we say, okay, God's got the future, I understand all of that, and we believe it in our heads, but we struggle to live it out in your hearts. Is anybody else there? You know what I'm saying? It's not that you don't know the right answer. You know that you shouldn't be afraid, but knowing it doesn't make you any less afraid. And so what do you do in those instances. Because if we don't get a grip on ourselves, we can let our fear run wild, and these what-if questions are going to send you and I into a total panic. You're going to end up having a heart attack from the stress that you're giving yourself on what-if questions. Well, what if I were to tell you, let me ask you a what-if. What if it doesn't have to be that way? What if there's another way, and the truth is there is, and it's the promise and the hope for a baby in a manger to be bigger than your fears. That's an incredible thought, isn't it? You see, because this baby in Bethlehem's manger grew up to be a man, and this man promised us a way to be free from the fear of, yes, even the future. In Matthew chapter 6, we call it the Sermon on the Mount. That baby in that manger says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothing?" And he goes on to say, you know what? If God can take care of the birds of the air and feed them, and if he clothes the lilies of the field, will he not so much more take care of you, O ye of little faith? And then he goes on and concludes in verse 34 of that chapter, "Therefore," listen, "because of this baby in a manger, born unto us, because of the hope we can have in him to provide for us and to take care of every need that we have," he says, "therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble." Jesus is telling you, don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. But I'm so good at doing that, aren't you? Don't worry about tomorrow. The same God who watches out for the rest of creation is keeping a close eye on you. Jesus is reminding us that God, listen to me, is bigger than your fear. It's a simple statement with powerful implications, isn't it? God's bigger than your fear. And you might know it here, but I'm trying to encourage you to believe it here in a new way. As I was thinking through this, I started thinking about my fears and worrying about the future, because believe it or not, even though I'm a preacher, I still worry. So in case that's what you wanted, why you were wanting to pursue ministry, don't do it. It didn't work. It's not the secret. The secret of contentment is not to go into ministry and everything will be better. So don't be fooled. And so when I was dwelling on my worry, let me let you in on how I thought through this. So I started thinking about God and time and how God is eternal. And I started thinking about the eternity of God. And I realized, you know what? God created everything. And actually, God even created time. And so when I think about how the fact that God created time, that means that God is not bound by time. That God is outside of time. That God created time. So that before time was, I am. Isn't that interesting? You know, and then I just spiraled from that point on, because it's one of those things that just starts to blow your mind if you think about it too long. By the way, I think it's very healthy for you to have those thoughts and to think that way. Even when you can't understand it and you can't wrap your mind around it, you need to allow your mind to wander to those places, because it will bring out a, oh, wow. God is amazing when you do that. And this is one of those instances for me as I was preparing this and I was worried about the future and I was trying to tell you guys to not worry about the future because I in turn wanted to tell myself not to worry about the future. I started thinking about, wow, God is outside of time. God is not bound by time. And I don't understand how it's this way, but I decided, I even went to Witt and said, "Do you think this is true? Remember when I came to your office, this is what I was thinking on." That was the moment I was having this aha moment, the light bulb moment. And I thought, you know what? When I'm worried about tomorrow, listen to me. I had this thought. God's already there. That gives me chills. I just sat in my office and I just looked up and I said, "Thank you, God." And so when I'm worried about tomorrow, or when I can't let go of something in the past, God's already there. He's waiting on me. Because God, my God's bigger than time. My God's eternal. My God created time, and there's something in that. Now, do I fully understand that? No, I'm preaching to you about something that my mind can't even grasp, but it doesn't make it any less true just because I can't understand it. Amen. Right? And thank God that my God is not a God that I can understand, because I want a God who's bigger than my thoughts. Amen. And praise the Lord that that baby in that manger is bigger than my mind can even comprehend. He's greater than your fear, fear of the future, and even, listen to me, this is a big one for me, fear of death. Even the fear of death. You know, for many, death is the ultimate unknown fear, and this fear rears its ugly head whenever we lose a loved one. It takes hold of us when we think about our own death, because everything connected with death just seems so final, doesn't it? It feels that way. And again, it's one of those things that we know in our head, like, no, it's not. But in our hearts, we struggle sometimes to wrestle with the concept that death is not final. It's not the end, but sometimes it really feels like it. And then when you're surrounded by death, or loved ones get sick and you start to wonder, or you get sick and you start to wonder about these concepts. But Jesus met that same kind of fear in John chapter 11 when Mary and Martha lost their brother Lazarus. But Jesus offered them this gift that didn't have to wait until Christmas to be opened, from freedom from the fear of even death. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. So he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Amen. What an awesome scripture. Praise God. So Jesus is telling you, and he's telling me, you don't need to be fearful of anything, the future or of death. Because death isn't the end of life. Death is the beginning of eternal life with him and your church family. And that's power. And so whatever you're worried about, whether it's death, whether it's the future, I think this is the key that I hold on to. He's already there. He's already there. You're not alone. And he's waiting on you, and he promises you so many things in Scripture that I don't have time to go through right now, because I spent too long on this already than I wanted to. But let me tell you something. There's so many promises in Scripture that you can hold on to. One of those is, he says, "I know the plans I have for you." Romans tells us that all things will work together for good. How? Because he's already there. He's got a plan. So when you face the unknown, you trust in a baby in a manger who's bigger than your fear. So number one, the first gift you should unwrap before Christmas is freedom from your fear. So if you're scared today, if you've been afraid, if you've been losing sleep at night, then that was for you. Number two is this, the second present you find in this baby's story that you don't have to wait until Christmas to open, is the joy of salvation. The angel goes on to say in our text, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, Christmas is supposed to be a season of joy, right? But it's not always the case, right? Joy isn't easy to come by even at Christmas. This is the moment in the lesson that I want to acknowledge those who Christmas is actually a more difficult time of the year for you than a joyful time of the year. Because it's true, and here's why it's true. We live in a fallen world. We live in a sin-filled world. And just as real as the Lord, so is the devil. And he's done a number on this place. And that's why God says, "This is not your eternal home. There's another place waiting for you." But Christmas can be a really tough time. Any holidays can be a tough time, because the truth is that there's that single pandemic parent out here right now listening. There's the single man or the single woman or that person who's estranged from their family. There's blended families. There's a lot of reasons why the holidays might be difficult for you. But not even for that, those reasons as well. Sometimes it's just, it's hard to be happy sometimes, isn't it? I don't mean to be down, but at the same time, I know I'm relating with some of you out there. You're already where I'm starting to preach at. You've just felt down. You know, sometimes it just seems like the good times will never last and that a bright day is always followed by dark clouds. And so sometimes the holidays can be even the most painful of times, yes, because we live in a fallen world. It was perfected when the perfect God created it, but it didn't take long for sin to leave its mark within it. And sin mars every beautiful thing in this world. Sin is what's ruining this world. And it's that sin that robs you of your joy because, listen to me, sin leads to something called guilt and shame. And whenever you're living with guilt and shame, guilt is the great robber that will steal your joy. Shame will steal happiness from you quicker than anything else. And the Bible says that we've all sinned and the payment that we owe is eternal death. I wrote down that sin is the great disease of mankind, the great disease of this world. And then I thought, you know what, if only there was some kind of cure, some kind of remedy that could not only just take away the wrong things that I've done, but that could also lift the shame and the guilt from my soul. And then as you read this text, you realize that there is hope even for those who are miserable, those who are not in the life situation that you want. Even when your circumstances these holidays might not be the most ideal, you can still have joy. Even after all you've been through, you can still have joy. And guess where it's found? Lying in a manger. Isn't it incredible that a little baby can bring you so many blessings? The angel announced the birth of this baby that will bring great joy because this baby is the cure that we're looking for the shame and the guilt and the sin in our life. Matthew 1:21, the angel said of Mary, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sin." He's the Savior who brings the true joy because he's the one who can save you from your sins. And so my question to you is, do you have that joy? You know, if you're sitting out and you're saying, you know what, I'm not joyful. I don't feel like I have that joy. I can't smile. I can't laugh because my circumstances are just so bad and there's so many bad things. Listen, here's how you can know if you had that joy. Whenever Avery and I were pregnant with Jude, and we were so excited, we're so joyful, and it was just an amazing time of our life, and so we had decided we want to tell her family first, and then we'll tell my family after. Mom, Dad, I love you, but, you know, something about the wife's parents, right? So that was the order that we chose. That's what we were going to do. But here's the problem. My mom just has a mother's intuition about her. And so she calls me, and we're literally on the way to Louisiana to tell Avery's parents about Jude. And my mom, this is how it goes. Now, I talk to my mom all the time. We've made trips to Louisiana several times since we had moved. There was nothing unique about the situation that we were in. My mom answers the phone. I say, hello. She says, hey, what's going on? I said, oh, not much. Actually, we're just riding in the car. She said, oh, cool. Where are y'all going? I said, we're actually taking a trip this weekend to Louisiana just to see her family and stuff. And she said, are you pregnant? I said, no. It wasn't a lie because I was not pregnant. It's the Christian way to lie, right? We justify it. No. Now look over at Avery. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what do I do now? You know, she's like, oh, okay. And she knew. I'm like, are you kidding me? So then I told her, yeah, I'm pregnant. She's, oh, I knew it. I just knew it. I just had a feeling. I'm like, how did you know? She said, oh, I just knew. I just knew just the way you're talking, just the way you sounded, just the way that you. What? Moms, y'all are weird. That's just creepy. Just have a mother's intuition. I never believed it until then. I believe in mother's intuition now. That was interesting. You know, and then as she began to describe why, honestly, she was, here's what I heard. There's just such a joy that I see coming from you. You know, and I think that that's so true, right? That when you have a certain kind of joy, it just shines through everything that you do. So if you're wondering whether or not you have that kind of joy, my question would be, is that the kind of joy? Is it shining through? Do others see it? Are they infected by it? And it's not about your circumstances. You see, this joy is based on something above your circumstances, and that's what makes this joy so powerful. You see, I'm not preaching to you saying that you can have a change in your situation, because some of you, that's what you want. Sometimes in my life, what I've done is I've said, if I could just change my circumstances, if this would happen, then I could be happy. If this happens, then I'll take care of this. If this happens, then I'll have peace. But I can't have peace until I get out of what I change. But Jesus is offering you some kind of joy that's different than the world offers. You see, the world offers a joy that's a beer commercial on the beach, sitting back in a lawn chair with your feet up at the ocean, and says, there's where you're going to have joy. There's where you're going to have peace. You want the perfect life, then you need the perfect environment and the perfect circumstances and the picture-perfect world. But Jesus says, I can give you a joy that lasts in the midst of the greatest storm in your life. I can give you the joy that Jesus himself experienced on the Sea of Galilee when his disciples are freaking out because there's this huge storm that's around and it's threatening to break up the boat. And these disciples are so scared. But where's Jesus? He's below deck asleep. And the text says, by the way, it adds a little emphasis to his kind of sleep, just in case you didn't understand the kind of joy, the kind of peace that he has, right? Jesus is asleep on a cushion. The text says that. You can look it up later. Jesus was asleep on a cushion. And the disciples come to him and they're going, Jesus, wake up. Aren't you fearful? And he's like, no, and you shouldn't be either. But they didn't understand that there was a present they hadn't unwrapped called the joy of their salvation and a peace that passes understanding. I got way ahead in my notes because I just spoiled the third gift. Not only can you have the joy of salvation, but you can have perpetual peace this Christmas. You've been looking for some gifts to open up better than the next new thing or a watch. You can have freedom from your fears. You can have joy from your salvation. And you can have a perpetual peace that will guard your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Verses 13 and 14 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. You know, Christmas is a strange time of year. Because it's supposed to be a time of peace and rest. Would you describe Christmas shopping as peaceful and restful? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of chaos. I hate the traffic around Christmas. I hate the traffic in Austin anytime, honestly. But throw in Christmas on top of it, and it's just hectic. It's miserable. Didn't y'all say like 10, 15 years ago this used to be a small country town? Where'd that go? And it disappears all the time, but especially at Christmas. Good grief. Now, it gets hectic, it gets crazy, and sometimes even the holidays, when it's supposed to be restful, your heart can feel anything but, you know. But this world, like I said earlier, it's offering you peace. It says, oh, if you just change your circumstance or change your environment. But listen, Jesus is offering you a peace that you can find even in the midst of Austin traffic at Christmas time. And what I love is that scripture I just quoted, the peace that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's where we need peace. We don't need peace surrounding us. We need peace within us. And Jesus offers that kind of peace to you. And it's one of those things, by the way, that he says will surpass your understanding. It's one of those, I told you earlier, dwell on the concepts your mind can't understand. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so I don't know where you are this morning or what you've been going through or what you've been feeling, but often we can feel overwhelmed by our circumstances. But this morning, I'm telling you something your parents never told you. You need to open up some Christmas gifts and you need to do it today. Don't wait till Christmas to do it. You can have freedom from your fears. You can have the joy of your salvation, and you can have perpetual peace, and you can do that right now. So if you are struggling, if your circumstances aren't what you want them to be, and your heart and your mind, you're just overwhelmed and you can't get past what you see in front of you, then you need to respond this morning. You need to come down here and let us pray over you, and you need to trust in a baby in a manger who is bigger than any fear and any chaos surrounding your life. The lesson's yours. Think about it.